Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you so much for joining me once again on At Home with Victoria, a show where we talk a lot about women's issues, current issues in the news, talk to nonprofit organizations trying to get the word out there about things that they're working on, and a little bit of everything. I'm Victoria, your host of the show. By trade, I'm a television news anchor, and I like doing the show because it gives me the opportunity to kind of talk to a lot of people and discuss issues and things that I simply don't have time to do on a regular newscast. So if you're joining us, thank you so much for being here. And today we are also once again talking about Haiti, as we don't want to forget our fellow brothers and sisters and family in Haiti, because right now all of us know that they are in need. And last Saturday we did a special that my producer and I got together in about 2 days to try to help with relief efforts, and I must say that was very, very successful. And I do want to take the opportunity to thank everyone, from all of my friends on social networking through Facebook and Twitter, as well as LinkedIn, who was able to help us put that together in such a short time, and thank everyone who came together to participate in that show, because, you know, it was one of those things where me, like everyone else, you see all of the images and things on television, and you're kind of, you know, thinking to yourself, what can I do, what can I do? And, you know, we've got to do something. But most importantly, what my main concern is that whenever disasters or things like this happen, all of us know that within a couple of weeks, 2 or 3 weeks, we forget and we go back to our regular lives, and we go back to doing the things that we do, and we kind of forget. So more importantly, I don't want us to forget, because it's going to take a long, long time for those rebuilding efforts, and they're going to need a lot of money to rebuild. We're going to have a bunch of people that's going to join us today on the show. Young lady who was with us last week named Jay, she's doing a tremendous amount of effort on behalf of a Wyclef organization out of the Washington, D.C. area. I think they've got a benefit coming up either today or it was yesterday, so she's going to talk to us. Also, there's a gentleman through Jay that I was able to find. His name is Eve, and he will join us a little bit, 10 minutes after the hour, but he has a great story about his cousin who was found in the rubble. And he'll be able to tell us a little bit about that and basically how his family is dealing with that. So I really, really, really do look forward to that. But in any event, I'm going to let some other people talk. I've got a couple of people on the line right now. I asked my friend Sandra, who's with the Miami Times, to call in and help me out again today. So we'll see if Sandra is able to join us or whoever we actually do have on the line. Hi, are you there, caller?
I am. Hi.
Is this Sandra?
No, it's Jay. Hi, Victoria.
Oh, hey, Jay. Jay, you hold on there. I've got somebody else who's on a 754 number. I'm going to see if I can get them on the line, too. Hi, caller. Are you there?
Yeah, Victoria, it's Sandra.
Hey, thanks for joining me. I see you got my email.
Yeah, I got the email.
Thanks for coming to my rescue. So Jay was here last week and Sandra was here. So, Jay, you've got any updates that you want to tell us about? I know you guys got that event that was going on. Tell us about that.
The event went on last night, and from what I hear, it went well. They did collect a lot of food items, and they were able to raise some money.
That's great. Now, that event, what was that in the D.C. area?
No, that was in Columbia, in Howard County, Columbia, Maryland.
Oh, okay, in Howard County. Great, great, great.
Yeah.
And Jay, I know you've got a big thing going on right now, so I know you said you couldn't stay with us through the
right.
entire hour. But what is it that you want to kind of talk about today? And I know a lot of it is just about not letting people forget to give. And, you know, we don't want this to die down, but we want to keep it out in the forefront of giving.
Absolutely. I found an organization called Marion Foundation for the Poor, and they're collecting clothes, first aid, any first aid items, non-perishable food. They're also collecting water, and what they do is they have schools and church in Haiti, and they have people on the ground now, and they have somebody that's leaving next month to go down and bring more stuff. So they're collecting.
Oh, great.
Like that.
So
yeah.
I tell you what you do, Jay, when you have some time, you can email me that spike and the information, and I'll make sure that I put it on my site, because because I like the idea that they're already there and they've got people on the ground, plus they're leaving to make another trip. So that's like, you know, immediate stuff that's going to be taken down there.
Exactly.
Now, how are you dealing with all of this this week versus last week? Because I know last week, just hearing in your voice and just having the chance to kind of go back with you through email, that you were just truly, your heart was heavy and just devastated on a personal level.
I was, and my mom did get some good news, and actually yesterday, which was great, her two cousins were able to come to the States that were badly injured. And
oh, great.
They were here, and they're getting medical attention now because one of her husband was here, works in Florida, so they were able to come. And she also heard from one cousin that they thought didn't make it. He was okay. He wasn't at home when the earthquake happened, so he finally was able to get a ride, like took the bus to a different town in Haiti, and he was able to call his family and tell all of us that he was okay. So the one
that is awesome.
That we thought passed away didn't pass away after all. And then my boyfriend
also
heard from his families that were also, they were injured, but they're okay. And
because Sandra was on with us last week, but actually I think Sandra and I were kind of talking when the show was over through our emails, Jay, that you really did a great job considering all of the stuff that you had on your mind and what you were going through, and you spoke so eloquently about the people of Haiti and certainly about their spirit, and that they will bounce back from this without any problem.
Oh, I believe it. And I was—I don't know if anybody watched the telethon, and I was crying all last night through the telethon. But Wyclef, I think at the end, said it best about all spirits and the kind of people we are. Like, if you look in Haiti, people are chanting. They still have high hope that they're gonna be okay, and they keep praying and stuff like that. And him playing the kind of music that he played and talking to the people, I think that was inspirational for people in Haiti and for people here. So,
right, Sandra, what were you about to say? Sandra, were you about to jump in there and say something?
Oh, no.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't get a chance to watch all of that, but I know, you know, first of all, I was just happy to see that the entire Hollywood community came out to do something. And I knew that once, you know, initially on when Wyclef got involved, that definitely a lot of people in that community were going to come out. And that's always, I think, one of the good things about people in the United States, you know, no matter what your background is or who you are, whenever there is a devastation or something like that occurs, it really does, you know, bring out the best in people. And they really do kind of sit at home in their living rooms and bedrooms and dining rooms and look at it on TV and say, man, you know, what is it that I could do? But I personally was very excited because a fellow reporter and a good friend of mine, Scott Broom, who works at WUSA in D.C., Channel 9, he is on the Comfort, and he got a chance to leave with the Comfort to go over there. So he's been following reports that people have been having the opportunity to see in D.C., and he'll be on the show whenever his schedule kind of dies down to talk to us about what he saw and what he's seen over there. But I was excited because I've had the chance to do a lot of stories on that, the Comfort, and to actually go aboard the ship. And, you know, just me knowing how many beds that they can help and how many doctors are on that ship. When I heard that they were going over there, I was so happy. Very, very happy.
Yeah.
Very, very happy.
It looked like they've been helping a lot of people, too. I've been watching the news, and it looked like they've been really much of a huge help.
Yeah, they have. Sandra, I saw on your Facebook page Reverend Jesse Jackson was down there. What was his efforts, and what was he doing?
Well, he was able to meet with the Prime Minister of Haiti, and he sat down and spoke to him, and the Prime Minister just basically told him just all the things that the people really, really need, which includes that people want to get back to working. You know, they want to get jobs back in place so that the way for them to cope is by working, the way for them to really help to help in the coping is by getting their jobs back.
Yeah,
and people need clothing and batteries and just a lot of things that the people really do need. Even though money's coming in, but people are lacking the resources to get these things.
Right. And I was just thinking too, Sandra, when you mentioned that they want to get back to work. You know, I can imagine what it's like to just sort of be walking around and, you know, and not being able to do anything. So certainly for one's peace of mind, you know, working is going to help, because then you know that you're working to rebuild your country, to help your fellow countrymen, you know, to get that, mm-hmm. that debris out of there and to sort of get back to some type of normalcy. And I do remember this week, I think it was, I don't know what station I saw it on, but former President Bill Clinton was actually talking about a program where he thought it would be a good idea, as Reverend Jackson was talking about, you know, to actually get people to working and to start, you know, cleaning up the rubble and that sort of stuff. But, you know, it's a job, so they're actually getting paid for it. So, you know, there's some value in that, as well as value in just helping, you know, everybody sort of get their life back to normal somehow.
Yeah, definitely.
Somehow.
But and through it all, one thing that Reverend Jackson just said, he said Haiti will rebuild, but Haiti needs a long-term help, not just something just temporary right now for the next couple of months, but we need something within the next 10 years, you know, that we're still helping Haiti.
Exactly. And I think I had mentioned last week that former President Bill Clinton, I didn't know that he was that he really was spending that amount of time in Haiti prior to this happening. So, you know, I think Mildred has said it best last week when, although you don't want something like this to happen, nobody wishes that or wants that, but at the same time, it's an opportunity for you to sort of come out of it and to rebuild and to kind of, you know, get yourself back on track. I also want to mention a very good friend of mine, Stone, who is a friend of mine on Facebook. She started an organization on Facebook, and it's just called Haiti, and she kind of uses that, guys, as a clearinghouse where, you know, any type of important information, whether it's from the news or Wyclef's organization or, you know, UNICEF or even when we were on the air last week, she posted that on her wall. But she's got a lot of people who join her group called Haiti. So I want to mention that to everyone out there. If you're on Facebook, if you're just on Facebook, type in Haiti, you'll see that it will come up. But Stone had wanted me to talk about this Doctors Without Borders .org that to help medical workers who are going over there. So it's, you know, sort of if your thing is you want to help in medicine, you want to help in food distribution, you want to help in just money and rebuilding the infrastructure, then there's a lot of organizations where you can actually take your money specifically and put it to whichever one it is that, you know, you that you want to do.
Also,
go ahead.
Email the White House, if you go into the White House website, they're looking for Creole-speaking medical health, anybody in the healthcare profession, because my mother is a nurse and she filled that application. What they're doing is they're looking for Creole health healthcare person, whatever, to go to Haiti for 2 weeks or for however long, you know, they need you to.
Sure.
To translate into health. So
that's good information.
If anybody's interested, if you go to the White House website, you see a link for that to fill the form out.
Okay. We just had, I think, East, who was supposed to join us, was just on the line, but it looks like he hung up, but I'm sure he'll call back because I know he said he was going to be calling on his cell phone, so maybe something happened. But Jay, Eve was one of the people that you were able to connect me with, and he's going to tell us when he comes back on the air his story. I think it was his cousin who had, I think he's back on, so let's see if we can get him on the line. Hi, Eve, are you there? It's Victoria.
Yes, I'm right there.
Great, great, great. So you're on the line with Jay and also Sandra. Sandra is a reporter for the Miami Times, and Jay was how I found you. She's very active in, you know, like everyone else is out there trying to get the word and help with relief funds in Haiti. So, Jay, tell us your story that's personal to you.
For Haiti, I have several relatives and families that live there.
Mm-hmm.
And when the quake happened, my cousin, who basically was raised by my mother since she was 2.5 and was stuck in a building, when the earthquake started, the building came down on her, and she was trapped for for approximately, I think, 2 days.
Wow.
From the start of the quake, and she was trapped until they got her out on Thursday morning, like around 2 a.m. But in the building, and she was trapped. She had a piece of concrete that fell on her, and I think she's not paralyzed, but she has no feeling from the waist down.
Down, yeah.
Throughout her legs. But
Jay, do you know what where exactly she was in Port-au-Prince, or was did this just happen when she was at home?
No, she was at work. She works in one of the ministers in Haiti for the government. She works in one of the ministries.
Mm-hmm.
And when it happened, so the building came down. Now, she was not at home. And but the worst part of it all, being trapped for 2 days, unable to communicate with the outside world.
Yeah.
And when she finally came out, they took her to a hospital, and she was out there in the yard, and surrounded by the dead people with arms cut off, legs cut off. And it was a traumatic experience for her during those hours. But fortunately, we were able to get her out of the country.
Oh, you were? That's great. Okay, I didn't know that. That's great.
Yes, she was. We were able to find a company that is called Global Rescue, and the company was able to contact where she was. Finally, they had to take her to another hospital, so they were able to go there, make contact with her, and last Wednesday, they were able to bring her to South Florida, where she's now at a hospital.
Wow, that's a blessing.
That is definitely a
blessing. She is fortunate. She's not in great condition at all.
Right.
Right now, as a matter of fact, right before I started talking to you, they called me and told me that they're going to take her to the operating room right now because she has some type of infection in the leg. In one of her legs that has been crushed from the concrete that fell
right.
on her.
Right, right. So and you know, I can imagine, too, being there in that rubble for 2 days with all of the concrete and the germs and all of that. So, you know, again, this is one of those situations where you never, ever, none of us ever want any of this to happen, but you know, I just like I'm about to tear up, but I just feel blessed that she got out.
Right. Yeah. It's been, we thought it was hard on us as family members until we finally see her. When we saw her, it was, it's unimaginable as human being to even try to comprehend what she went through. The sad thing is, it's personal, yes, but it is not just her. It is thousands and thousands and thousands. And where we're talking about, I just heard a number that they've buried about 120,000 people already, and they are talking about the death toll probably will be way over 200,000. It is just incredible.
It's a nightmare.
I think is not even strong enough. There is no word that I can find to explain this what's going on right now. But she is fortunate. She is in great. She's getting great care right now.
Right.
That's a success, if you want to call it.
Exactly.
Story.
Yeah. Right.
But it is one of the very few that I can say that it, at least the outcome, there's hope that it could be a good outcome.
Well, I definitely, Eve, agree with you there. As far as I'm concerned, too, there is no word in the English language or man's language that would be able to describe what is happening and what happened there. I agree with you on that.
When I heard that story, Mirza is your niece. She's the one who told me about her cousin. Yeah, and I took give her that information. But when I heard that story, I wanted to cry, and I was just happy that she made it here.
Yeah, I know, because you know, for me, just listening to it, I had, you know, it's kind of like you go through a mixture of emotions, because literally I have a box of Kleenex right next to me, and I was about to lose it and started crying. But then, you know, when you hear the part about that she is here and she's getting help, you do feel that sense of hope, and you're happy. But I think he described it best when he said, if you can call that a victory, it's a victory, you know?
Correct.
I agree.
Yeah.
And hopefully she can, hopefully she's strong, and she, you know, we're strong people, and I just pray that she'll, you know, she'll be okay, and we just have
absolutely
to pray on that.
Right.
But I do think, you know, after something like that, you know, no matter who you are, you definitely, you know, obviously you're going to need support from family and friends and God, but, you know, it's a traumatic experience like that. You definitely, it seems like, would need just some type of help in terms of being able to talk about what happened as well.
Okay. But I have
the only thing that they're trying to do down here in Victoria is bring counseling to the Haitians that are coming here to America, because a lot of them are going to need help. They are going to need some psychological counseling, and some emotional trauma, and also psychological trauma for them.
Yeah.
Right. One of the things that definitely, since you mentioned psychological trauma,
mm-hmm.
that is one of our greatest concern right now. Yes, the physical part is a great concern, but
mm-hmm.
the psychological part is really that it's going to be a long struggle, because right
mm-hmm.
now she's having a difficult time sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
When she wakes up, she feels like the bed is trembling with her.
And
she's recalling a death around her.
Mm-hmm.
Recalling
wow.
a difficult time that she had, you know, just being
mm-hmm.
Under the rubble.
Yeah.
So the psychological impact, I think it's going to be the worst part of it all. And seeing her, and I just can't even imagine the thousand millions of Haitians right now that is in the country, how are they going to cope with this trauma? If I
mm-hmm.
see her the way she is, and there's hope that she's going to get help, just
mm-hmm.
imagine the toll that it's going to take on the population right now in the country. It is. That's why I said I don't think there are any word that we can find to even get close to explaining what really happened in the country.
I was watching CNN yesterday. There was a lady who worked at a daycare center in Port-au-Prince, and the school collapsed, and she was able to get out, but her two kids, a two-year-old, and I want to say in like, I think a two-year-old and like an 18-month-old,
mm-hmm.
I can't remember, but she was able to get out, but they didn't make it. So she
mm-hmm.
stayed for 3 or 4 days until they were able to get their bodies out, and she just said she didn't even have time to bury them. She just said she cried for that whole day, and then she just, you know, she had to put the kids up for, she couldn't even bury them, so she threw, basically where everybody was throwing the bodies, she
mm-hmm.
just gave them up, and then she just said she had to move on. So she was taking a bus to go to another, you know, different city and stuff
mm-hmm.
like that. All she had in her purse of them was like a paper that they wrote on from school. And she said that's the only memory she had of them, and she has no picture of them to show the cameraman. And I think stories like that, you know, she don't even have time to breathe because she lost everything. And she just has to, she says she just has to keep moving. There's nothing she can do. And then she said that all she read every night since what happened is, I think, Psalm 46 or something. I can't remember which psalm it was. The words, the Lord is my shepherd and my refuge. And she said that's all she reads. But that's how, that's the coping. That's how they cope with it. They don't even have time to cope. But, you know, because they have to move on.
But, Jay, but Jay and Sandra and Eve, you guys know, one, you know, when you're, and, you know, we can never compare this with the small things that happen in our lives. But I also think that, you know, when something happens, it's like you do one or two things like this. They don't even have time and space, you know, to grieve. But, you know, when things start to settle down, I mean, all of us know that one day, and we don't know when that day is, will be for many of them, you know, they're going to lose it and just, I mean, go crazy over something like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, because it is just, you know, like, you know, I think all of us keep using, you know, a lot of us, especially journalists, we use the same sort of cliche words, and sometimes that irritates me because as a journalist, you know, just like Eve said, there is no word in the English language or man's language that can describe what people are feeling, seeing, and what's taking place over there. But I just know personally just a lot of my friends who are in television and writers and all that stuff have called me, and a couple of them have been, actually not a couple, I would say about 10 or 15 of them have been covering this that's been taking place in different cities across the U.S. that they work in, and talking to folks in the Haitian community and things like that, but they were telling me that even for them to have to cover it, and they're like, you know, Vic, I've covered a lot of stuff in my television career, but one of my girlfriends says that, you know, she was asking her questions, and she said that she had to stop, and she went inside the bathroom, and she said she just lost it because, Eve, it was very much a story like the one that you're telling, you know, versus somebody who was in Pittsburgh where she works, and it was sort of like the same kind of story, and she just said that she lost it. So I can only imagine, too, what it's like for the people that have to cover it and that are over there, rescue workers and things. So, you know, I just hope God blesses them as well, because that's a lot of stuff for them to see and to have to deal with also.
Oh, it's incredible. But I would also add, I know, although I said that there is no word that can describe what's going on, but at the same time, I see my cousin. Through all this, she still has the strength to want to leave, to want to live. She still has the strength to want to get better so that she can get, and she's thinking that within a few days, when I say days, not just two or three days, in a short period of time, she's going to be able to get up and start going about her business again. And it's an incredible, watching somebody going through what she went through, but still having hope that she will make it. And that's an incredible, it helps us. I mean, us, my family, all the members of our family that is watching her, it gives us strength to be able to say there is hope. And
there is
we cannot
hope,
just say, forget it, it's over.
Right.
But she is giving us hope so that we can move forward. And in being able to move forward, we can actually assist her better in trying to get her where she needs to be.
Well, and I think, Eve, you started that just by even coming on here to have this conversation with us about it. And again, it was through Jay that I found you. So, you know, for you to be able to be on here and tell her story, I mean, that in itself, you have to know this. It's very courageous, and I think it's huge because our show goes out to so many people. And plus, even when the show is over, you can download it on Apple, on iTunes. So I do hope that as she recovers, that she gets a chance to hear you talk about her and her story to help other people, and to know that she is helping other people right there in the hospital bed right now.
Eve also has, they had, I don't know if Eve's going to talk about this, because I have to go, but they also started PayPal to help. Eve, you want to talk about that? The problem with the medical bills and stuff like that?
Yeah, one of my nieces has set up an account, PayPal, through PayPal, and so that if anybody would like to help her sister financially, that they can help her, because the medical bills are going to, although
enormous.
She is going to get help, and I have to say thank you to the American people, to the United States for really helping assist her with the medical bills. But the medical bills are not going to end after she comes out of the hospital. There are going to be, I think, a number of more medical bills that's going to going to have.
Well,
to
Eve,
go
I tell you what, when you when we're done with the show, and I think that we do have each other's email address. Email me that information as to how people can give, and I'll make sure that I put that on my website, and we'll keep it on there for about a month or so. And then as I continue to do shows, and trust me, I will on all of my shows, I'll make sure I mention her and the fund so that people won't forget in order for them to go ahead and donate. Because you are right about that. I mean, although she is here and she's getting plenty of help, you know, that medical bill is going to be enormous. And then once she actually gets better, I'm sure there's therapy and there's all this aftercare, so that certainly is not going to stop. And I do want to, Jay, I know you've got to go, and actually you spent a lot more time than you said you would, so I want to thank you for that. And yeah, and we're going to certainly keep in touch, and I know that you're out there with your efforts, and I applaud you for every single thing that you are doing. And thanks so
thank
much, because I know you've got a wedding or something you're supposed to be at today, but
yes.
You stopped to come and talk to us.
Yes, I had to, because I just really want, you know, it's the time now when you get the, you know, the attention you need to help. Because like you said, a couple months from now, I just don't want people to forget. And Haiti's going to need a lot of rebuilding, and it's going to take a long, long time. So, you know, if I'm doing my part, that's all that matters. And also, people can still donate to the telephone from yesterday, hopeforhaitinow.org.
Okay.
They're still taking donations if people are interested in donating $5, $10.
Okay. And Jay, before I let you go, when you do have time in the next couple of days, email me that site, too, so I can go ahead and put it on there, and I'll keep it up for a bit
absolutely.
For you. Okay.
Absolutely.
All right, love. Thanks so much for calling
thank
in, and enjoy the rest of your day.
All right. Thank you very much for hearing her story.
And Eve, thank you so much. And again, I know without a doubt that through her story, you have been able to touch a lot of people. And you did leave it by saying the most important thing is that all of you guys are getting strength from her. So I definitely do thank you. And keep in touch with us. Don't forget to send me that email. And I'll go ahead and put that information on there because you're right, you know, the financial bills are going to come in and she certainly is going to need a lot of help.
Correct.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much
for calling in.
Okay.
Okay. And Sandra, you have to stay. We have 10 more minutes. You can't go. You're a television journalist, so you have to stay with me. You can't go. Yeah, it's about 10 more minutes. I have to tell you, like, whenever I do shows like this, I always put a box of Kleenex next to me because I never know, you know, like, if I'm going to get all the sniffles. And I totally got the sniffles when he was talking about that story. I mean, how powerful and just heart-wrenching that story was.
Yeah. Find yourself, even as journalists, even if the story really doesn't apply to you, that you're relating to the story and you're being touched in a place where you never expected.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Because, like I said, I kind of knew a little bit about the story because Jay kept saying, oh, this is the story. You've got to talk to him. And I said, okay, and we kind of touched bases late today, actually a couple of hours before the show was on the air. And so I didn't even know the entire story. So, yeah, that was very, very touching. But you know what? You're right. And throughout this whole thing, when you mentioned the counseling aspect and services of it, I hadn't even thought about that yet. But, you know, there's going to be a lot of counseling that's going to have to take place. So have they started any of that down there where you are?
Well, they've been doing a lot of adoption. I know a lot of the kids who have come in, they've been doing a lot of adoption, which is where it needs to start, because it's kind of like, you know, moving to a new town. You know, you move into a new town and you have to start living with different people and stuff like that, adjusting to the new environment, but mm-hmm. you've never been there before. And
right.
you don't know how to adjust. Basically, mm-hmm. that's what it is. And I haven't heard any counseling that they started down here, but I know a lot of people, what they've been doing this week is pushing forward with the temporary protective status that President Obama initiated a week ago. And so many Haitians have just been applying and applying and applying and just receiving information and counseling about the TPS so that they can mm-hmm. get their Haitian nationals can get granted protected status in the United States.
Right, right. And you know what, I do hope that a lot of people will take advantage of that. I really do, because I think that right there in itself is going to save a lot of lives and it's going to help a lot of people. So now, you know, for sure, if that was something that anybody even thought about doing or whatever, I mean, now would definitely be the time as a result of what's going on now. Go ahead.
Even with people having to pay for the TPS, there's a lot of scams going on. So they're advising people to get information, like to be advised, get the right counseling about it. Because, of course, even during these devastating times, there's people out there who still want to make a dollar and will scam anybody just to do it, you know. So they just advise everyone just be careful and make sure you're getting the right information.
And I do remember last week's show, we talked a lot about that, too, is that when something like this happens, it certainly brings out the good in people and it brings out the bad in people. But I know for a fact CNN and even the American Red Cross, just those two websites alone, as well as former President Bill Clinton's foundation, they've got a whole list. I mean, I'm talking between 10 to 15 different types of organizations on there that's reputable where you can actually go and donate. And what I liked about those different sites were that the resources were going to different places. Like if you specifically wanted to help with food, then you could donate food. If you wanted to help with rebuilding the infrastructure, then you can donate towards that. If you wanted to help with clothing, you could do that. If you wanted to help with medicine, you could do that. So I like the idea that, you know, whatever your heart desires in terms of helping, that, you know, you were sort of given the opportunity to actually do that. So, but again, I'm just always just so concerned that when something like this happens, 2 weeks go by and people are like, oh, okay, well, there's something else going on over there. We can go on to the next thing. But I feel good that everyone's really going to do their part to kind of, you know, make sure that we can keep this in the news. And something Eve had mentioned that I want to touch on, too, was the new numbers for the death toll. And most of my numbers as a journalist, I like to get them from the American Red Cross because a lot of their people are actually there on ground. So I just kind of like to go by a lot of the numbers that they say. But right now they're estimating over 132,000 as the death toll that as of today. But then they also add, Sandra, that it's actually the numbers are actually going to be much higher than what that is.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't even, you know, even as a journalist, I've covered a lot of things and still cover a lot of things, but I can't even wrap my brain around that number. I've got to tell you, I just can't do it.
Yeah. I mean, it's something that we didn't expect, but at the same time, we got to stay praying. We got to continue to pray. And
absolutely.
And just praying because we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. And the thing about Haiti is that we don't know what's going to happen in the next couple of months. You know, hurricane season is almost coming up. We don't know what's going to happen because they also suffered three back-to-back storms about 2 years ago. And that's what messed up the infrastructure and it messed up with the – and this was collapsed like a couple of years, like 2 years ago also. So it's like back-to-back things keep on happening and we don't know what's going to happen next
week.
So we've got to stay prayed up for Haiti.
I did see a article. I want to say it was in the New York Times. I that's where I want to say, but I could be wrong. But I'm sure if anybody is out there listening and you're interested, you could also Google it. But it's a design and architecture company that's out of New York, and they actually specialize in what you were just talking about, constructing buildings for hurricane and earthquake, and I was very happy to see that that their organization are going to donate, I think they said, three or four of their sort of top engineers to go over there so that they can actually, when they do start that rebuilding effort and start putting the buildings and, you know, the housing and all of that stuff back up, that, that they'll actually be there on hand to really make recommendations, because they were saying that, you know, when you do live in a Caribbean country like that, you know, the whole structure of everything is totally different versus, you know, if you're living here on the West Coast or somewhere else that doesn't have to deal with earthquakes and tsunamis and all of that stuff. So I was very, very happy to hear, you know, that they're going to donate their services, because that's huge, you know.
Very important. We need that.
Because it wouldn't make any sense, you know, especially right now, which is good that all this money will be going in there, but, you know, it makes sense to put those buildings and those houses in there correctly so that if something like this were to happen, I mean, certainly nothing is foolproof, but if, you know, if they're going to put in these new buildings and build these homes, and it will be able to save half of the people that weren't saved this time around, then it's worth it, you know.
And people will return to Haiti. That's the thing that I think a lot of people haven't basically touched on. People will return to Haiti because Haiti is home, you know. It's not just, okay, an earthquake happened, let's just all leave. No, we want to return back to our home. We still have the culture. We have the traditions. We have the legacies that are left there that we want to continue with.
I didn't even think about that, but yeah, you're right. Yeah, that is a great point. It is. I mean, home. No matter who you are and wherever you are, home is home. Yeah.
Yeah.
You definitely do make a good point. Well, our time is done, so thanks for hanging on the line with me. I had for you guys that are out there listening. I emailed Sandra, and she was with us last week, and I said, "Help! I said I need you to be on the show today and to hang out with me on the line." So she did, and I wasn't sure if you were going to call in because we never did actually, you know, get a chance to go back and forth. But then when I saw that 7 pop up, I was like, "That's my girl. That's my fellow journalist. she called in to help her friend out today." So Sandra, thanks a lot so much, and I appreciate you emailing me your address as well. So you'll be getting something special in the mail soon. A little birdie told me that you'll be getting something special in the mail, just to let you know.
Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot for joining us, and I'll talk to you later, Sandra.
All right, Victoria.
And again, for all of you that were listening, that was my fellow journalist and friend, Sandra, who is a writer, and she's also a photographer for the Miami Times. So if you live in Miami or anywhere in Florida, make sure you look for her byline down there. She's always doing great work, and I'm always getting a chance to see some of her stories whenever she decides to post them on Facebook and tag me in them. I get to see her stories. And again, I want to thank Jay for taking the time out. She was at a wedding today, but she came to talk about Haiti. And I also want to thank E for his powerful story about his cousin, who was in the rubble for 2 days, was able to get out through an organization. They were able to get her to Florida, where she's in the hospital and undergoing surgery as I speak right now. So our prayers certainly do go out to Eve and his family and his cousin and everyone out there who is dealing with all of this. So, guys, don't forget, you want to donate money in terms of websites. Check out CNN.com or the American Red Cross. Those are all reputable, and you can donate to, you know, a vast array of different organizations. Thanks so much for joining us again on this Saturday for At Home with Victoria. Our next show, we're going to be talking about Valentine's, because you know that's coming up. I'll talk to you guys later. Have a good one. Bye-bye.